This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with my colleagues Joseph Umeyer, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. Unusual activities throughout the Americas are becoming normalized. For example, droughts and floods and the visitation of Iranian warships and now a carrier strike group off the coast of Argentina. All of this turns around the Americas becoming what appears to be a surrogate battle space between the axis of resistance, so-called. That would be Moscow, Tehran, Beijing, and Pyongyang, and the United States and its allies. So we turn to one country that has been at odds with the United States for several administrations now. That's Venezuela, before the Chavezistas and now the Nicolas Maduro facing a re-election at the end of July. Joseph has prepared a report for The Spectator. It points to the risks of Venezuela right now, not just for its own people, nor just for its neighbors, but also for the region. Joseph, to explain this, what we're looking at is Iran, Russia, and China with its arsenal of autocracy in Pyongyang, all looking at Venezuela as an area to operate. What is it that they want? Why are they empowering Venezuela before we come to the prospect of an election at the end of July? What is the mission for the axis of resistance?
So that is the question, John. And I think, you know, the commander of Southern Command, the command responsible for Latin America, has been very busy. And something happened on May 9th of this year, or a few weeks ago, which was that the United States did a flyover of Georgetown, the capital of Guyana, which is in a border dispute with Venezuela. And it was a flyover of two F-18 Super Hornets, basically coming from a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier that was floating off the Caribbean. What was the purpose of doing that flyover? Well, that was a huge message. It was a message as a show of force, but it wasn't only intended for Venezuela, who's the aggressor in the Venezuela-Guyana conflict, but it was a message to Iran, because days prior to that, it was announced that an Iranian warship, an IRGC warship, had sailed into the southern hemisphere for the first time. My understanding is it's now sailing around South Africa, potentially on its way through the South Atlantic into Venezuela. I don't know that that's the case, but this has happened in the past, and there's definitely concern that may happen. There's also reports that potentially some Russian warships may be on their way into the Atlantic as well. And that brings me to what this is about. This conflict, John, is primarily about the Atlantic. The South Atlantic in particular is a body of water that is very poorly monitored. It's perhaps among the weakest in terms of maritime security and the strongest in terms of illicit trade. There's all kinds of drugs and terrorists that go through those waters, human trafficking, drug trafficking, that goes from Latin America to Africa to the Middle East. This is a body of water that I think, as I described in the article at The Spectator, that I think is prime for these kind of autocratic powers to try to test maritime security. Russia, China, and Iran have already held at least six, if not more, joint naval exercises in the Gulf of Oman in the Indian Ocean since 2018. My speculation has always been that they're going to attempt to do that in the Atlantic at some point, and maybe even in the future into the Caribbean. But in order to do that, they had to find the right maritime routes. They had to find the right ports. They had to find the logistics. They had to arrange the logistics to be able to make that happen. And I think that's where Venezuela comes into play. Venezuela is a platform for these autocratic powers. Their weapons are already well entrenched in Venezuela. Their embassies are very active and use Venezuela as kind of a launch pad to do other operations throughout the region. And I think that they're preparing to use Venezuela as a proxy to engage in a conflict that gives them the pretext to be able to bring their navies over to this side of the world. And so to wrap that up, John, is really, you know, the Venezuela-Guyana conflict, which in most analysis is looked at a local conflict that has to do with the 126-year-old border dispute, is really an international conflict that has to do with proxy warfare, much like Ukraine, Israel, what could potentially happen in Taiwan. And this would be the fourth flank of that proxy conflict. And it has less to do with the border, the Essequibo, that, you know, many people have talked about, and has a lot more to do with the maritime domain. And I believe that that's what's taking place. And I think the Guyanese understand that. And I think that's why the flyover took place on May 9th, because the United States has no interest in having a conflict or any kind of war in the Western Hemisphere. And they want to make sure that that doesn't happen.
You mentioned Guyana. Is there news? Is there information? Is there anything that we can point to say Guyana's in a stronger position today than when there was the first teasing that Venezuela could enforce its claim that dates back to the end of the 19th, early 20th century, enforce its claim with a military strike? Is Guyana feeling more or less vulnerable since that first report?
No, I think Guyana's been feeling vulnerable since September of last year, when Maduro basically started making the claims as soon as he came back from Beijing, was going to try to annex the Essequibo. But I think the Guyanese are smarter now as to how that might actually take place. And this was a big point of my article as well, because a lot of the analysis that we've seen in the open sources about this conflict has had two myths. One, the first myth is that people, and this mainly comes from Venezuela, think that this is just kind of a bluff by the Maduro regime because he's showing weakness in front of the elections in July, meaning that he's trying to rally nationalist sentiments because he's trying to distract from the fact that he's not doing well in the polls leading up to the July elections. The problem is Venezuela is not a democracy, and Maduro could steal that election like they've stole others in the past with very little to no consequence. And Maduro really doesn't care about the elections. He could steal that anytime he wants. He's really focused on this conflict. And then the second is the Essequibo itself. I mean, we don't have to go into the history of it, but it's basically 2/3 of Guyana, but really only 15% of its population. And Maduro, even if he wanted to annex the entire Essequibo landmass, they couldn't, because they don't have the military, they don't have the governing capability or the resources to occupy that area. The only part of the Essequibo that matters is what's called Region 1, which is the region that's closest to the coast and closest to the Atlantic. That's the region that Maduro will try to annex, kind of like you call it the Crimea of Guyana, the Crimea of the Essequibo. And in that, I think the Guyanese have a better understanding of exactly how Maduro would do it. He wouldn't use conventional military. He would use attacks more similar to how the Houthis have been able to bottleneck the Red Sea, asymmetric amphibious attacks that involve drones, missiles, fast attack craft. And what you're seeing today is you're seeing Maduro mobilize his naval assets closer to that maritime border. He's also doing stuff on the land border, but I think that that's a very expensive disinformation campaign to kind of confuse the international community and the Guyanese itself. But I think the real action will take place in this place, Region 1, the Marini-Wini region of Guyana.
And Joseph, finally, because I know you must move on, and so I wanted to your thoughts on that carrier strike group, George Washington carrier strike group, exercising with Argentina. Is that significant in the matter that you've been addressing about showing strength in the South Atlantic?
Yeah, so the George Washington strike group, that's actually the strike group where those F-18 Hornets, Super Hornets, flew from when they did the flyover of Guyana. It's part of a Southern Seas joint exercise that's culminating in Argentina. It's very significant because, as we were talking about in the previous segment, John, if it wasn't for the fact that Javier Milei won that election in Argentina, the stack of cards for the United States to have a defense posture with strong partnerships in South America would be almost nil. We'd be working with like Ecuador, Guyana, these small Uruguay, small countries. Brazil, you know, they hosted an Iranian warship a year ago. Argentina under the previous government would do things with the United States, but they would always try to balance that, or maybe not even balance it, exceed it with the military agreements that they were starting to build with China. President Milei is not like that. He prefers the United States. He's made it very clear that the United States is his top defense partner. The defense minister in Argentina, Luis Petri, has been very strong about building defense partnerships. And that was, I think, to me, embodied when he signed the deal for the F-16s that they purchased. And I think that this is something that gives the United States a chance to be able to figure out a way to calm the region so that we don't get into any kind of hot war. But as the military says, your enemy also has a vote. And while I think the United States is posturing in South America, Russia, China, Iran are preparing to attack. And I think we need to be prepared for that.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. His article is Venezuela Preparing for War is available right now at The Spectator. CBS Eye on the World, The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.